Greetings, fellow Earthlings, brothers and sisters, beautiful beings of all ages, shapes, and sizes. This is Cool Conversations. We bring you these frequencies for the real, conversations meant to heal. Let our voices be the wind to your sails as we dance across the physical, the metaphysical, and the unknown. This is Micah Buffett, and joining me is Laura Cool. Together, we have cool conversations. Welcome to the sixth episode of Cool Conversations. This week we have an amazing guest for you all. His name is Eric Taylor. He's a professional astrologist, a life coach, chronic illness coach, relationship coach, and he's lived through it all. Let me tell you, listening to him tell his life story has been so inspiring. It has just been a galactic journey, and I'm really excited for you all to hear this. So without further ado, here's the conversation Laura and I had with Eric Taylor.
Hi, Eric.
Hello, Laura and Micah. How are you?
We are awesome.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Doing well, brother.
Yeah. And yourself?
I'm well. I can't complain. I'm excited to join you on Cool Conversations. I'm very honored, and I love speaking with you and just learning about what you do and how you help people. And I just think it's a blessing. So I'm honored to be here. And that's what I'm all about, of being of service to everybody, the collective.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
So Eric, tell us, how did you get into reading astrology?
I would say the fascinating thing is I've gone back and forth with astrology. I knew, you know, as a child, okay, I'm a Virgo. My sister's a Libra. My dad was an Aries. My mom's a Taurus. I knew just that basic stuff, right? And you know, everybody, you know, I'm a child, you know, born 1970 and child of the 70s and 80s. And everybody would just be like, oh, you know, you're born this month, you're this sign and da, da, da. So I started to get into it as I got older. My mother, Catholic, my father, Baptist. It wasn't, you know, but it wasn't something that it was like, oh, my God, you can't talk about it. You know, because my father had, and I still have it, the actual stone carving of Aries the Ram. I know in college, I really got into astrology. One of my good buddies who's passed on, we got this book. I don't remember the name. It was like 500-600 pages. It was literally like the Bible of astrology. And it would break down like Virgo 1, Virgo 2, Virgo 3. But I guess now that I know as an astrologer, they're called deacons. And so they're different stages, right? So if you're Virgo 1, the first deacon, it's like August 26th to the 2nd. Virgo 2, which I am, is like September 3rd to the 11th. So I read it, and it's called The Week of the Enigma. And it just blew me away. When I read it, I felt as if someone had had a camera and been spying on me for my whole life. It gave me chills. Wow. I was like, what? I'm like, who wrote this? Like, how do they know me? You know? And so that was sort of taking it to a different level of understanding. I was just fascinated. So as I was reading the book, and I would start to see, okay, I'm a Virgo 2, the Week of the Enigma. And I was working on a one-man show called The Energetic Enigma, E, The Energetic Enigma, because I'm also an MC and an actor and a comedian, sketch comic and all this stuff. So that was something that was in my, you know, mental lexicon that I was working on and creating. And just to have that sort of confirmation that I was born in the Week of the Enigma, that like just was like, you know, earth shattering. So then I guess, to be honest, then I started to use it as a more of a sensual weapon. So I started to understand for the ladies what sign a woman was, how to talk to them. And then, you know, the book even got into like, I think, horogenous zones, like Libra likes lower back massages, you know, just stuff like that, whatever, right? And so then when
Leia
I would...
Leia extraordinaire.
I gotta be honest. I'm a Scorpio ascendant, so I am a truth seeker and a truth speaker.
There you go. Right.
And what's so ironic about that is not even knowing I was a Scorpio ascendant. So my first two albums, the first one is titled Hip Hop Forever. My MC rhyme name is E Complete. The second album is titled Truth Speaker. And then being the Scorpio ascendant, I am just, you know, literally a truth speaker and a truth seeker. Scorpios are very... The truth is very important to them. They don't like liars or lies. You know what I mean? That's like a big thing, because as I joke through some of my astrology videos, if you ever see different things, I've got these sort of, you know, little terms like Gemini's the verbal slut. But Scorpios, they can be, because they're very emotional, right? Intense. They can be emotional punks. You know, so nice. Being a Scorpio ascendant, you know, sometimes I can get a little, and it was when I was younger, lower vibration, right? Before Saturn returns, 28, 29, I was a little, you know, a little sensitive. You, if you come at me, and it was good for rapping, right? If you come at me, I'm going to come back at you. You know, we're going to go blow for blow lyrically. Sure. Like, so I, you know, and being a Virgo sun and my Virgo and Mercury, I am naturally a wordsmith. So it was just so funny as the years went on, and then I actually knew about my birth chart. It was actually showing every aspect of my life that I had already lived and that I am currently living and would continue to live. So it was just so fascinating. So then fast forward, I was learning more about it. Then in 1999, I went out to California. I call it the holy setup, to spend time pursuing acting and some commercials. I was staying with one of my good buddies, another Aries. I have a half sister just from my father. And so I was staying at his place and then went to her place, but she was a born again Christian, like devout. Like I used to call my sister London Taylor. She passed on, a Christian thug, because London would come at you. She's like, oh, so if you die tonight, are you going to heaven or hell? I'm like, I don't know. Oh my God. Like, you know, whoa. I'm nervous.
That's intense, yo.
Yeah, that was my sister. And I just miss her dearly and love her. And she was a Taurus, like my mother. She was, you know, just an amazing, amazing woman. And just, but anyway, so I started to go to Bible study and church with her. And, you know, it's not like I hadn't been to churches before, but when I was at her church and I met her pastor, her pastor is a Black woman who's just on fire and just would bring the word and just the Holy Spirit in the church. And it was just so beautiful. And one night at Bible study, I think I just went to church with her once or twice. But one night at Bible study, my sister like says to me like that same question. So if you die tonight, where are you going? What's going to happen with your soul? And I was like, she's like, you're going to go to heaven or hell. You know, and they were like having the altar call to see if anybody wanted to, you know, dedicate their life to Jesus Christ and become born again and and submit to their sins and all that. And she just, you know, said that to me. And then I just felt like the Spirit had moved me. I went up to the altar and I must have kind of let go of 29 years of just everything. You know, they talk about like when you meditate and do deep breathing work, that like you can like really let go. And I mean, deep breathing work, let go of all the anxiety and fear and stress that we hold in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And I think that night, as I dedicated, you know, my life to Christ, that's what happened. I came to the altar. It was beautiful. And I became a Christian. And that kind of obviously at that time pulled me away from astrology, right? You know, I've always had a very open mind and heart, and but you know, I'm a proud Christian. I don't see it as the sin that is written. I started to slowly get pulled back into astrology, but then I got really sick. And I live in Arizona, and in about 7 or 8 states in America, there's a fungus called Valley Fever. It's like a old fungus that's in the dirt and soil. April of 2013, it was a very gusty, windy day. I went outside, a gust of wind came and it, like hit me smack in my face. It was like boop, and my nose and mouth, like the movie Ghostbusters. It was just like, it was just such an invasion. And it was like, and I started like choking and coughing. And I'm like, I closed the door and I tell my wife, I was like, babe, I think I'm gonna be sick. It was almost like an alien invasion. Like it just came and it was like it attacked me. Came in my nose, mouth. And so for people who don't know, Valley Fever is usually indicated in your lungs. It didn't go to my lungs. It went to my head and my neck. And then I went on this whole long journey. And I don't want to get into all of that. I could talk days for that. But it was about 6.5 years of suffering. I call it my internal Vietnam. But in that process, I had to doctors. I had to research and investigate, learn about That's how I learned the valley and learned Arizona, through going to doctors, chiropractors. Western medicine couldn't help me at all because it wasn't in the lungs. They couldn't detect it or find it. Then I'm starting to get pain in my joints, my knees, my feet, my back, my hips. I go to the orthopedic doctor. I told him what happened. He goes, Eric, he checked my knees. Like, your knee's fine. That's the valley fever. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. Unfortunately, and this I found out later on through the journey, for the most part, for Caucasians, it will stay in the lungs or in the area where it's at. But for people with melanin, and mainly for, you know, Indians, African-Americans, just, you know, anybody, people of color, it can spread through all out the entire body. And that's what it did for Eric Taylor. And after 17 months of being on, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I was on Percocet. It was the worst thing. This is right before the whole, like, oh my God, like, you know, pain kill epidemic in America, right? I was living it. But for me, I respected the pain and the pills. And I was, my body is very intuitive. And I've always been that way in terms of my eating. As soon as I eat something, I know if it agrees with me or if it doesn't. You know, my body is that in tune with anything that I put in it. I just was like, okay, I can only take the pills when I feel pain. My wife would be like, baby, you're suffering, you're in pain. Just take another pill, get, you know, take the pill to get ahead of it, right? And I was, you know, sometimes I would do that, but sometimes I just knew, okay, this is a season, right? God will give us a season, a reason, and a lifetime. This is my season of suffering, and I had to figure out why, but it prepared me for all of this, right? The chronic illness coaching, the relationship coaching, the astrology, the medical astrology. So through this process of being sick, I started to do all this research, and part of that was even more in astrology. Then I started taking classes, and then I started to really think about it seriously. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do? I physically could not get up to clock into anybody's job. You know, I'm a former teacher before that, television, film, music, acting, all that. But there was no job that I could go to where I could work for 8 hours a day and clock in. So I was like, well, what are my talents and gifts? The sports radio was doing well. We were getting a lot of success, but we were like hitting home runs and triples in the minor leagues. You know, I was like, okay, astrology, tailored to coaching, life coaching. The relationship coaching I've been doing since like 14. My girlfriends, friends would always come to me, oh, Eric, what do you think about this, right? I've always been introspective. And it was fascinating because I can remember as this child, this duality of life. Even though I was in my personal life going through a lot of pain and suffering, out in the world, I was just this happy, innocent little kid who just lived life like on 20, you know, with passion and vigor and joy and laughter. And, you know, sometimes I just think that those were angels or my father or just God, the combination, just keeping their hand on me to be like, you know what? Yeah, your father was murdered when you were 6. My mother was shot when I was 7. You know, all this stuff and survived and still living. But just, you know, and so anyway, it's all kind of led me to this point. I've studied with a couple of gurus and astrologers that have taught me. I'm still learning because I think the process of, you know, I'm a professional astrologer, but the process of learning, like I dabble trying to learn so much about the Vedic astrology. You know, I do Western tropical astrology. I use the whole sign system instead of Placidus, which one of my astrologer teachers taught me. And I'm just a student of life. So that's sort of kind of the verbal vomit of like how I got to where I'm at today. The sickness, I can only describe it as that internal Vietnam. But I mean, I tried everything, the leeches, lemon peels on my feet. And so all these things I use now in my practice with chronic illness coaching, I was the kind of the patient, the guinea pig, the case study. Which then ironically later, when I had a human design reading and was starting to learn about human design, which is a mixture of like astrology, numerology, the Kabbalah and Tai Chi or the Chinese astrology. And it's this whole program and system, right? Mm-hmm. And I found out that I was like a 1-3 generator, and it's a reading of your aura. But the 1-3 generator is literally the mad scientist who's got to go through, investigate, learn, experience, and then teach and share. So I'm just like laughing, like years later, you know, when I got that reading, I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. I've done that my whole life.
For real.
I mean, the 50-year journey has made me, I think, a very unique healer, a very unique astrologer, a very unique relationship and chronic illness and life coach, and just a humble servant of God. You know what I mean? And I take that so seriously. And I'm honored.
How do you bring God into your astrology?
Well, I think one thing that's fascinating that you said yesterday, it was like walking on my heart as well, not shying away from it and not being afraid to say who I am or who I pray to or love or whatever, you know, but at the same time, not being like judging or oppressing others, like being more Christ-like. Because there's, you know, we've seen even in the last 4 years with people wanting to claim that they're Christians, but not living Christ-like.
Right.
Right.
You know, following demigods and all this other stuff, that spirit of judgment, control, and hate is not of God.
Exactly.
So I had a woman that reached out to me, and she had seen one of my astrology videos, but I often talk about God and prayer in my videos. And I think that touched her, and that's what made her select me to do her birth chart, because she was a devout Catholic.
Yeah.
I was so honored, and we had about a 40-minute conversation before we got into like the astrology and birth charts, just about God, Jesus, and spirituality, and that, you know. And she said to me, Eric, I don't think it's a sin because the three wise men, they used the stars to find baby Jesus. And I said, that's right. And I said, but not just that. I said, all through the Bible, you see stuff of, you know, of angels and aliens and this and visions and dreams. And then I was talking about, you know, the connection of the moon and, you know, just
everything. And let's be honest, all the kings, all the monarchies used astrology. They didn't.
Yeah.
And I believe that it's because they didn't want the general public to know about it.
Yes.
Because it's a hidden guide you so much.
Yeah. Yes. No. And it was sort of like with the Freemasons, it's sort of like that secret hidden knowledge.
Yes.
You know, I think that having love for humanity, for yourself and the collective, whether it's as a Christian, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim, I can't judge because I'm not God. But I know that God gives all of us all the tools and powers that we need to live to our highest vibration and potential. And so even as a Christian, I can't say, oh, well, Mike is a Buddhist, he's going to go to hell. Like, I don't get in that business.
But do you know what I mean? Like, it's very...
Absolutely.
It's sacred. It's sacred.
It is. And it's been so, like, it's been so misconstrued throughout the years, you know? It's been turned from this love to this fear, based upon personal gain for a few individuals, you know? I feel like so much healing in the collective consciousness happening in this time.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
Here's a little thing that's been blowing my mind, right? Since the, you know, the Me Too movement the last couple of years, and, you know, all the really from last year, the great, the grand conjunction with Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto in Capricorn. And with this new moon we just had on the 12th and 13th in Capricorn, we were revisiting that energy as the new moon in Capricorn was conjunct the Capricorn sun and Pluto, right? We are entering into the age of Aquarius, which was on December 21st, that great conjunction where Saturn and Jupiter were at 0 degrees on the 21st in Aquarius, right? And it's like the veil is being lifted, the deception, the fog, the lies. Now, some people are still caught up in the matrix and the web, right?
Of course.
You know, everything
there's always
they see
be
on, right, everything they see on TV, they believe. Yep. And, oh, my government, my daddy, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Fox News, this one, that one. They consume television, right? They're totally believing whatever they're told, like little programmed robots.
Right.
But at the same time, what you said, Micah, so many people are awakening. And you see it with the energy of the divine feminine. And then what's been happening? I know people think it's minor, with the Me Too. But that wasn't minor. Harvey Weinstein, that wasn't minor. Bill Cosby, that wasn't minor. And being me as an actor and being in the industry, I've been telling people stuff about all that stuff for years, but nobody wanted to believe me.
Right.
And then after that stuff started to come up, then my friends were like, oh, yeah, you did say,
exactly.
You know. And I said, yeah, I told you. I know the industry. But even deeper, even in sports, right? Yeah. And people like to just rip and criticize and destroy sports, right?
Colin the biggest Kaepernick.
Well,
you know
not
what
just
I'm saying?
Kaepernick. Yeah, no, definitely. Totally Kaepernick, right?
That stuff.
But the empowerment of women. When you bow down and you take a knee, that is like the most humble thing that you can do. And Nate Boyer, who was a Green Beret and tried and played in the NFL for a couple months, he said to Kaepernick, instead of sitting on the sidelines, you know, how about taking a knee? Because we do that to honor our dead warriors and brothers in arms, our other fellow soldiers. But that's also, right, we pray a knee, right?
Yeah.
We kneel and pray. You get in a prayer closet, they'll tell you to get on your knees, right? Be humble servant before God. But that's something that in every spiritual book, taking a knee is about honoring and reverence. And Kaepernick, I can't even thank him. Yeah, it was so deep, just what he was willing to lose and sacrifice and just, I mean, think about that, right?
It's even more deep, like what happened afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, like the effect that had on.
What?
Yeah.
It really, but.
Yeah, finish your thoughts.
Well, just everything, like, because he did that, he lost his job, basically. Like, he got experienced so much backlash from that.
And blackballed, yeah.
But then when more people got called out on it, then everyone else was on board with it. Like, first he was chastised, first he was tossed to the side, but then people were like, oh no, I see how this affects us as well. We'll jump on the bandwagon. We're going to reframe the picture of what happened.
Well, he needed the allies, and it took a long time for a lot of his white football counterparts to kind of join arms. And that slowly happened, but then it really hit its head this summer with George Floyd, right? Then it was sort of like, oh, I get it. You were talking about that police brutality. But see, that only existed because of the pandemic, where everyone had to sit on their butts and be at home and watch 8 minutes and 23 seconds of another human taking another human's life in complete disgusting violence.
Yep.
You know, and I've seen some astrologers look at that cop's birth chart. Ooh, got it. Deep. Just very deep. The whole thing is this, though. I was still from that, and then even beyond it, the divine feminine, which with this patriarchal system and colonization, we've never acknowledged the power of women, right? And the divinity of women, right?
The feminine, the power of femininity.
Yes.
Not the same power as in masculinity, where it's like physical power, but more of a spiritual power on the feminine divine. That's exactly what we talk about, Eric, in our podcast since we started this, is the relationship between men and women. It doesn't have to be like you cook and I clean, like as a woman, but more of what our feminine power is. And how to bring that back out, that being feminine and being soft and nurturing is so important, and that the male energy being powerful and strong and protective is so important as well.
Amen.
100%. Thank you.
But you know, we're all yin yang. We're all masculine and feminine, every species, right? I mean, you know, when a child is you know, forming in the womb, right? First, all babies are female. And then as it goes through the process, then it either gives you that X or Y chromosome. You know what I mean? So it's really deep on that aspect too. But what you've seen in sports is women being coaches in the NFL and in basketball. Yesterday, they just signed the Boston Red Sox, Bianca Smith, the first woman, and she's African-American, to be a hitting coach for the Boston Red Sox minor league system. You had the former WNBA player, Becky Hammond, coached an NBA game when George Popovich got kicked out. She actually had to coach the rest of the game. You've seen it with the with the women's soccer team and their power and them fighting for equal rights and equal pay, right? So you're seeing this everywhere. And I don't want people to belittle sports, right? I know the concept, oh, it's just distracting us from real issues and all that. But it's a little bit deeper, right?
Yeah.
Let's go back to Jackie Robinson. Mm. Let's go back to Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. You know, just what, even for civil rights. You know, today we honor Dr. King, his birthday. The holiday is on Monday, but today is Dr. King's birthday. 92 years old he would have been. But think about Jackie Robinson, and through sports helped change, you know, getting dogs and hoses and beatings off of African Americans in this country, just from him playing baseball, even though he was, you know, spat on and this and that. So I'm saying there's a power in sports because it's a meritocracy, right? Sports is the place where we're not having redlining. We're not having, you know, the racism that's ingrained in our system. In sports, it's like, can you run? Can you hit? Can you kick? Can you punch, right? Remember, was it Jack Johnson who knocked out Max Snelling and made Hitler feel like a peon because he thought the Aryan race was so superior, but a black American won the heavyweight championship. There's all these moments in history, sports. I mean, think of what Muhammad Ali did. I mean, stopping his career, his earning power to say, I'm not going to Vietnam to go kill innocent people because my American government wants to go over there and get opium and drugs and, you know, do all this stuff and kill innocent people for what? You know what I mean? That was so deep and powerful. So I just think what's been happening with the divine feminine energy is beautiful. And I'm just so excited for all these women and young girls. And then in college football, a woman was did a kickoff and I guess kicked a field goal this year in college football. It's beautiful. I think, and that's what you were saying, Micah, there's that change, and that's really the age of Aquarius. Because what is Aquarius energy? It's fixed air sign. So it can be stubborn. It can be a little arrogant.
Okay. Now, wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead. What? Oh, yeah, that's right. You're an Aquarius sun. No. I'm going to break you down. But no, but think about it, right? But what it says is bizarre, weird, unique, rebel, freedom, energy. That's for the collective and humanity. Everyone gets a slice of pizza and a Snapple. That was my mantra in college, right? I had friends, and you know, in college, you're eating ramen noodles, you're struggling, you don't have money, you know, this and that. Me and my buddies, we took care of each other. We had a brotherhood that I never forget, that to the day I die, I will always love my brothers in college because we made sure no one went to bed hungry. If I had $5, that means like me and my roommate, that means he got a slice, I got a slice, we each had a Snapple. We were good.
Well, one of my friends from Brazil said that down there, everyone would come over, put in $1 here, $1 there, $1 here, $1 there, cook some rice and beans up, and then go get some barbecue, and then feed everybody on whatever was thrown into the pot. And he's like, why don't Americans do that? And I'm like, I don't know. It's like stone soup.
Right? No. You do know. Don't say that. You do know.
No, I don't.
Capitalism does not breed humanism. We are a country that is built on lies and on violence and theft. Right? Like when Joe Biden, I saw this video on Instagram the other day, when Joe Biden and all these people were saying, this is not America, like what happened last Wednesday, right? No. That is America.
Yeah.
That's exactly who America is. And America has never healed from the original sin of genocide of the Native Americans, the First Nation people, the genocide and continuous, you know, apartheid of Africans and the triangle trade, right? Why do you think Malcolm X was killed? Malcolm X, after his pilgrimage to Mecca, was going to do the greatest thing that any human being on earth that we know was willing to attempt. He was going to take the United States of America to court for human rights violations to the United Nations. I can't think of anything deeper. And that to me is why they took out Malcolm, right? Yep. But they killed the four horsemen because the four horsemen were trying to change this whole system of division, right? Because God doesn't see race and culture and this and that. The whole concept of whiteness was created in the 1600s to divide the indentured servants and then the Africans that were brought over here, yeah. Right? Europeans are not white. They're Irish, Italian, German, Swedish, Spanish. Dutch, right? Danish. Mm-hmm. What is white? They're not, the white is made up. What's the definition of race? It's a measure of distance. That's all it is. So, you know what I mean? So I think we've got to, America's got to get honest and sort of make it right.
Yeah.
Do you remember a year and a half ago when they furloughed the government workers and people who didn't get paid for 30 days and the world, everybody was losing their shiz, their sugar honey iced tea, and they were like, oh my God. And da, da, da. Well, imagine like, imagine not getting paid for 250 or 300 years for free labor. So that's the jealousy and that's the head start. That's the whole thing that America has benefited from. Right. So when you never honored your concept of 40 acres and a mule, which is why Spike Lee named his film company that, when you never honored that for the people who built this country, right, that's still the original sin. So reparations has to happen. Amen, or America will never change. It will never heal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for example, when I work with my clients, I teach them the hardest thing for human beings to do is to admit to their wrongs and say sorry.
Yeah.
Do you know the power in saying,
I
was
it.
Wrong. Yeah, I was wrong.
I remember
wrong
going through that myself sorry. To be able to say it. It is hard. It is difficult.
Right. But when you do it, you not only heal that other person, you heal yourself. White people have to heal from slavery.
Yep.
That's why this whole concept that people are starting to talk about, and it's like in the lexicon now, right? White privilege. These Karens calling the cops and making up lies on black men just in the park for no reason. You know what I mean? This, it has to happen for us to grow up, mature, heal, and transform and evolve. And yes, I get it, right? I have white family, white friends, this and that. Oh, I never had slaves. That's not, when people go to that
so
low vibration
you
level.
Say, I have white family, white friends. Is that no, supposed to be the other way? No, my
right,
and
exactly.
I have black friends,
right.
Man.
Yeah, exactly. No, but you have to say it that way, right? Because there's this mentality of like, it wasn't me. Why should I have to put you? And it's like, stop it. The systematic.
Can't like, we just do this? Can't we just take government, like an Etch-a-Sketch, and shake it up and start all over?
Well, listen, the universe is doing that.
No.
That literally.
No. So do tell us, is it in astrology? Because the next 2.5 years, and that started what, like almost a year ago now, that's what was happening. Right.
Well, the whole Pluto and Capricorn, but just this time of having last year that grand conjunction, and then even now, America is about to have their Pluto return. So there's going to be kind of like this death of America, this transformation of America, because I think it's at 27 degrees in Capricorn. Capricorn now, I believe, is at 23 degrees. So I don't know if it's in this year or next year, it will get to the 27th degree. But there is going to be, because America, every place has a chart, okay? So America's ascendant rising sign, first house, is Sagittarius, right? And what's so ironic, in the seventh house of Gemini is Mars, right? So that's the other half, how we are to the world, right? We are this assertive warrior, right? We start all these wars. We commit all these coups, you know, these Venezuela, these, you know, Iran, Iraq, the, you know, putting people into power, taking people, putting in puppets that we control, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's why the world has been laughing at us the last 4 years. That's why the world made some nasty remarks when that insurrection happened last week, right? Because of this quote unquote hypocrisy, how we try to live and act like we are holier than thou when we are the killers, the violent murderers. So when Biden or anyone else, and I'm not knocking Biden, I'm not, you know, I'm not even trying to get political. I'm so awakened that it's a system of division, because it's not left or right. Yeah. It's not red or blue. It's not Democrat, mm-hmm. Republican. Because if we were a real just nation, we would have a 3-5 party system. Mm-hmm. We would not have corporations like the Koch brothers putting in millions and billions of dollars to make Trump president. We would not have Big Pharma, Big Oil, Wall Street putting in people and lobbyists. I mean, just think of the concept of a lobby. Like, it's insane how our system runs. Mm-hmm. It is not of the people for the people at all. So we have to just, America has got to take some truth and really look at itself and say, who do we want to be? Who are we? Let's not lie about who we are, and let's heal and change and transform. And that's what the Age of Aquarius is about. Because Aquarius says, no, Jeff Bezos, you can't have a monopoly and take out every small business. Right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, Laura.
You can't.
Let's sketch this bitch.
But do you know what I mean? And I'm not knocking Jeff Bezos. God bless him. He was brilliant. Remember when Amazon first came out, it was about the books and everybody used to like laugh at him and this and that. But he grinded and he built it and built it and built it and transformed and built it. Right? So I'm not knocking that. But you can't have 6 organizations controlling every aspect of media.
Right.
Right. So that means when Tom Hanks does a movie for Warner Brothers and then he goes on the tour, right, it's going to get all the best ratings and all the marketing commercials from this network, because this network owns this film company and this owns that and this newspaper and then this TV network. You understand it all begins. So,
but that's capitalism at its finest.
Well, but look at what the government did. They smacked Bill Gates on the hand in the 90s and said, you can't have a monopoly.
Oh,
and that's how Apple started.
That's how they
started.
Got him. That's how they
I know. And then,
let's not even go on the Bill Gates.
God, please. Yeah, no. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid of anyone in on a news interview or writes out that our population 6.8 and billion and going to 9 billion, but we'd like to cut that by 15-20%. What are you trying to say? You want to cut it through birth control, healthcare, and vaccines? You're saying you want to murder people? Like, how else am I as a human being to take that verbiage? You're saying we're at 6.8 billion. But you want to, we're headed towards 9, but you want to cut that by 15-20%?
Yeah. Why don't we start with his family?
Well, yeah, you know.
Do you know? And then let's see how good it is.
We just got to keep doing the spiritual work. We got to keep. because we can heal. Right. We can heal. We True just love. Have to wake people up. And I think that's what I try to implore and almost beg people on my channel.
Yeah.
Right? It's hard, right? I have family and friends who, you know, they think I'm silly or whatever, being involved in astrology or da-da-da, or it's a sin or whatever. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, like I just want to hug them and share to them, you know, that if you could see my father's murder and my birth chart, and that's my life and I lived it. What else do you
need to talk about that? Talk about your birth chart and where your father is, because that I found very interesting.
Okay, so I'm a Scorpio ascendant and I'm a Virgo sun. So that means my sun in Virgo is in the 11th house. The 11th house is the house of Aquarius, which is ruled by Saturn and Uranus. Saturn in traditional Hellenistic and Vedic astrology, Uranus in more modern astrology is the ruler of the 11th house. The 11th house represents what we were talking about before for you with the Aquarius, right? It's friends, groups, organizations. The 11th house is a energy that supports the 10th house, which is the top of your chart, the highest point where the sun is at, like at the top of the horizon. And the 11th house supports it in the sense that it's your hopes, dreams, and wishes. So it's where you can have groups and organizations and the collective help you financially. It's also a house where you can see stepchildren. It's this supportive house because the Capricorn, the ascendant, it's your sort of career, your midheaven. Now, but the midheaven in astrology can be in different houses. It can be the 11th, the 10th, the 9th, you know, if you were born like in South or North Pole, it could be like in the first house or the seventh house. Like, so it's variance on where you are in terms of the location of birth on the equator, right? And so for me, my midheaven's in the 11th house of Virgo, but in my 11th house, I have the sun. The sun represents your identity, your ego, your personality, your vitality, but it's also can be literally your father. Okay, that's the sun. That's the energy of the sun, can represent your father. I also have what they call a stellium. A stellium in astrology in one house is where you can have three or more planets. Okay, so I have the sun in Virgo. I have Mercury in Virgo. I have Mars in Virgo. I have Pluto in Virgo. I also happen to have Black Moon Lilith in Virgo, which is the divine feminine, our root chakra, our instincts, our gut, our intuition, how God really speaks to us, right? Through our intuition, our instincts, our gut. And that's what sort of the patriarchal system has tried to take away from us, right? For us being in tune to our bodies and tapping in to speak to God and to hear God, right? But then I also have what they call the South Node, which is in Vedic astrology, K2, the South Node in the 11th house in Virgo. That means my North Node is in Pisces in the 5th house. Those are like the nodes, these sort of invisible points between the moon and I guess Earth, or between the moon and the sun, the very powerful points in astrology. And the South Node, they're both, it's a karmic energy, but the South Node is sort of like the gifts and skills that God has given you that you have mastered from a past life. And for those who don't believe in past life, let's say the energy of your first 30 years. But you know how, like, you know, you can see these child prodigies, they just like at 11, they can play like Beethoven and Bach at a piano. And you're like, what? Well, that's that South Node energy. Like, it's just like they have, and they would have to have other planets next to it. Conjunction is just like, if like Micah and I are two different planets, right? Let's say I'm Mercury and Micah's Jupiter. So if we're like within 5 or, you know, 0 to, let's say the most, I like to say 10 degrees, but some astrologers like to say between 0 and maybe 7 degrees. So we would be his Jupiter and my Mercury. It means like we'd be in the room watching the same television or having the same conversation. You know, I think that's a good way to explain it for people to kind of visualize it and can, you know, conceptualize it, right? But, you know, let's say if Micah's at 3 degrees and I'm, you know, at Jupiter and I'm, my Mercury's at like 20 degrees, we're in the same house, like literally in the same house, but we're in totally two different rooms watching two different shows. Micah's over there looking at Maury Povich, who's, you know, whose baby is it? And I'm over here watching National Geographic in the other room, right? So, you know what I mean? So it's in the same house, but it's no longer a conjunction. Okay. So that means the energy, they're not talking to each other, right? When we're in the same room, Micah and I could talk to each other.
Yeah.
Having all that energy in my 11th house, the way that it plays out and the way that I had learned about it and first saw it and just, it was revealed to me. I'm taking this astrology course with one of my astrology teachers, gurus, and just a brilliant woman. There was about 15 to 20 students. She asked if she could use my chart as an example. And I said, yeah, I'm going to go through the planet because I want you to really get this so you can understand how deep it is, right? So I went through the sun, my personality, ego, identity, the father. Mercury, it's communication, how you learn, how you talk, but it's like your hands, right? It rules the 3rd house, but it also rules the 6th house. Okay. So the Mercury is short distance travel, cars, buses, your local community, neighborhood. It's your hands, your arms, your shoulders, your lungs, right? That's how you learn, communicate, you write, right? Talking, right? Media, right? That's Mercury. This is all going through the planets in the 11th house in Virgo on my chart. Then you have Mars. What's Mars? Mars rules Aries and Scorpio. It's this assertive, aggressive energy. It's a weapon. It cuts and divides. It's blood. It's a soldier, a warrior. It's your willpower, your sex drive, your initiative, like what makes you get up and attack the world, right? How you initiate. That's Mars. Pluto is virus, death. Can be literal death, but it can be death and rebirth, right? Changes in our life where we have a death at an end of a relationship and a rebirth of a new one. It's transformation. It's power, sex, hidden subjects, astrology, numerology, metaphysics, the occult sciences, debt, inheritance, taxes, other people's money, resources. Just look at the sun, Mercury, Mars, and Pluto. It's not even including, although I'm realizing now Black Moon, Lilith, and Self-Node had a play in this. My father was murdered outside of his car in the local community on his way home from work, going to meet my mother for dinner, right? But still on the way towards home, by Mars, the soldier warrior. They bumped into his car. It was like three men and a woman in the car. He got out with his Aries Ram self because he was a bad MF, didn't appreciate someone banging into his car. There was like a fight or scuffle with one or two of the men. The third man, I guess, came out, shot him a lot of times. Pluto, death. He was rushed to St. Luke's Hospital in Harlem. He was shot on 110th Street in Harlem on Morningside Drive. And that's,
and there it is in your chart.
That's literally Sun, Mercury, right? Mercury, the car, local community, short distance trip, right? An area, the Mars, the adversary, the weapon, the Pluto, the literal death. You know, it's that was, and when the teacher went through that, I mean, it was powerful, because in astrology, things can literally be in the chart that potent and powerful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be more allegorical, metaphorical. My wife likes to tease me because I love, as an MC, I love double entendres. So sometimes you'll see double entendres play out in charts, you know. When it's that literal,
right?
It's really, how could anyone? And that's where, I guess, for me, it becomes even harder, right? When friends and family who know me can't let go of their programming and brainwashing to even admit they know my life story. They know my life. They know my pain and suffering. But think of the denial you have to have when that revelation is revealed to you. I can't make that up, right? I didn't design astrology. I didn't choose, you know, I did choose when I was born. You do choose your birth. You choose your parents, right? But I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't make that up. That's not a lie, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's where I want to just shake people and scream to the mountaintops. Wake up. It's not a joke. It's not a game. It's literally the truth and so real. And God wants you to understand how to use that map so you can vibrate on your highest level.
Yep.
So you can be in tune. Because guess what? God created the moon. See, and this is where people, where they get caught up, right? Because there's a little bit of earthling human being arrogance there, right? Mm. So you think only God created Earth? Right? No, seriously, think about that. Like, think about the mentality, right? So only God created the earth and the sun and the moon. So you acknowledge that. You know the moon controls the tides of the ocean. You know the moon is linked up to a woman's menstrual cycle. You have the lunar calendar, which the Jews follow. You know the power of the farmer's almanac. They use the moon in terms of how to harvest and plant and grow. So this is the cycles of life, of biology, of everything. Biology is Jupiter, right? It's all there. And then you still think that it's a sin? How does that even logically play out in someone's mind? That's what trips me out. You have got to acknowledge that God has created mm-hmm. the entire universe, not just little Earth.
Well, and let's be honest, like in my readings, I'll get kids that didn't come through that were maybe a miscarriage or whatnot, but they'll tell me they didn't want to live that life astrologically out. They wanted a different one. I had a girlfriend who lost twin boys And I said, no, they want to come back later on as twin girls. But first they want an older sibling instead of being the oldest. They want to be second in line, not first. That's and deep. It played out exactly that way. And she's like, "How? What the heck?" And I said, well, they told me after you had miscarriage and they had gone back up to heaven. That's what they told me. Like, do I like, how do I know this stuff? Like, they're the ones who say it. And I just listen. So I told, that's why I'm like, astrology to me is like breathing. It's just natural. It's that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, and the crystalline kids, which is what your kids are, they're crystalline. They're very indecisive because they've never been to the planet before. So they have all of these different choices. So that's why we see like so many miscarriages right now. And then they'll come through. Oh, okay. This is a good time for us to come through. So I tell women, I said, well, just keep trying because it's not you, it's them. And I'm like, serious, they are super
indecisive.
You
can see certain things in a birth chart of when the planets are in transit, of when the optimal time is.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning this in terms of like looking at the fifth house, mm-hmm. In terms of with Jupiter and there's another planet. So I'm going to tip my tongue, but you know, you can see that in the chart and it's so powerful. You know, you could see multiple marriages. The first marriage could be the seventh house. The second marriage, the ninth house. You know, I was looking at, I think it was like my astrology teacher. We looked at, I think it was Drew Barrymore's chart and she's got like three or four marriages. So you see seventh, ninth, 11th, and then back to the ascendant for like the fourth marriage. Hmm. So like those things, like it's so, and I just say it's perfect. It's perfect symmetry, right? God is numerology and math and number, you know what I mean? Like everything, even in the Bible, numbers, you know, and it's so funny. I have a song, you know, before I got into astrology, you know, and I have a song called Numbers, you know, Numbers Have Power, you know, in my second album. And it's just so deep because I sometimes look back and it would blow your mind that like, if you would listen and you hear the lyrics that from my first album, you could see that it was God that was writing it with me because it's so prophetic that what I wrote in the 90s is happening today. Wow. My rhymes are 15 to 20 years ahead. You know, I'm just a humble servant. I give that credit to God because, and for me, I rhyme every day because I know my father hears me. I rhyme for my dad. You know what I mean? Like I want to entertain him. That's how I look at it. And I explain that sometimes to my clients. I'm like, even when you have that like that self-doubt and that bad negative self-talk, stop it. Imagine your dad or your grandma up in heaven hanging out with God on this beautiful sofa. And they're like saying to God, like, well, why is Eric talking bad about himself? I didn't say that to him. And God's like, no, you know, like I didn't tell them that. You know what I mean? We destroy ourselves. We've got to stop the negative self-talk. We need to live in the positive affirmations. We have to vibrate higher. We have to have self-love. So my coaching program, the first floor, is called unlearning because that's what we've got to do. We've got to unprogram and unlearn so we can heal and love ourselves and get rid of what the media, the magazines, the television, the government, our parents, the school systems, all that junk that they put on us. Get rid of it. Keep the 10 to 20%, maybe 7 to 18%. That's good. And then re-put in truth, self-love, respect, compassion, empathy. You know what I mean? Like, and then you are alive as a human being, as a spiritual being, as a light and honoring God. And that's my program, and that's what I'm so honored to help people with and to do. And I've seen it work, and it's the most humbling thing. And I just hope and know that God and my dad and my grandmother, my grandfather, you know, I think about, you know, my mother's mother died when she was 14. I never met her, you know, and both my grandmothers were Libras. You know, my sister's a Libra, you know what I mean? And I just think about, you know, and I remember when I lost both my father's parents, and then when my mother's father, Pop-Pop, passed away, he used to always say to me, he wanted me to write him a letter in college. And before he died, you know, when I was in college, I wrote him a letter, and he was completely blind. But I wrote him that letter anyway, and, you know, had someone read it to him, and he was so proud of me. Wow. And I just, it touched my heart, you know. And you can see other things in my birth chart. I am legally blind in my right eye, and I have an eye disease, and you can see it in my birth chart. And that's another thing that I tell my friends and I tell my clients. If you can see that, how could you ever? I mean, my life as an example is a truth teller for astrology.
Yeah.
You can see my eye disease in my birth chart. You could see my father's murder in my birth chart.
Wow.
What else do you need? It's a mic dropper right there.
That's incredible. Yeah.
It gives me chills just telling you.
Wow. So, you said some stuff about my mom and my birth chart that was really interesting too. And like my mom is Taurus and my father's Aquarius, and that's in mine.
Yeah. Well, literally in your chart, your son, the father, ego, is an Aquarius, and that's in your 12th house.
And that with was your my father.
Mercury, yeah. Right? Your father, your mother, and this doesn't always happen. I was telling her, Mike, I do so many clients, you know, and I'm proud to say I'm in like 28 states and like 3 countries, you know, working with clients. And I've seen it maybe once or twice where the parents, the sun and the moon represents the mother, represents your family, your emotions, how you emotionally respond, right? Like, let's say if we looked at a car, a red Mercedes Benz. My mother used to have one. The red color of the car is the ascendant, the outer mask. It's what the world sees. You don't see it. The Mercedes Benz 350 SEL, 550, whatever, that's the sun sign. The steering wheel, the leather interior, the brakes, that's the moon. The moon is your bedroom in your house. Not everyone sees that. Your children, your spouse, your siblings, your parents, they see your moon, right? I won't see your Taurus moon just meeting you and talking to you. Micah probably sees it. Your dog sees it. Your siblings, your parents, right? They see your Taurus moon. But when people first meet Laura, they're going to look at this Pisces ascendant. They see those Pisces eyes. They see that energy. They're not going to see the Aquarius sun right away. Okay. And so the fact that you've got this Taurus moon, which is literally your mom in your third house, and then you've got this Aquarius sun, 12th house, and there we'd have to really look at that chart because you got the Mercury. Mercury is exalted in Aquarius, and it's in your 12th house of spirituality, dreams, subconscious, unconscious, the spiritual realm. You are exalted in the spiritual realm to communicate to God, to the other dimension. The 12th house, like if you look at the Pisces-Aries cusp, the 12th and the first house, it's called the cusp of rebirth. Right? That 12th house is that veil of the physical and the spiritual realm. In astrology, you look at the 6th, 8th, and 12th house for kind of like death, sickness, illness, hidden things, spiritual things. But so I think it's very deep that you've got the sun and Mercury in the 12th house. And then before we got on, it hit me in a deeper way. And this is where, Micah, we get to the double entendres. Because then I started thinking about the Holy Spirit, the Son, the Father, but not just your dad, but the spiritual Father. Because for you to have that power as the Pisces ascendant and to have the Sun and Mercury, that's exalted communication. My Virgo and Mercury is at home there, right? So Virgos and Geminis, we think faster. We communicate faster. It's more grounded in Virgo. Gemini, it's ideas, exchanging ideas. That's why I call them the verbal slut. With Virgo, it's more analytical, assessing. How do I make it better? Critical, medicals. You know what I mean? But for you in Aquarius, it's exalted. It's future thinking. It's freedom. It's rebellion. It's driverless cars. It's deeper than Bitcoin. It's, you know what I mean? It's how we get to the age of Aquarius. You know what I mean? So it's a very deep, you know, placement. Just, you know, quickly looking at your chart, I was just like, whoa. So she's got Mercury, communication, Venus, pleasure, money, romance, comforts, material world, values, relationships, exalted, and Pisces. Pisces and Venus is exalted. So when she loves her mom or her dad or her siblings or the or Spirit, the dog, or Micah, it's the same love. She only vibrates her love at 110. Now, as she's matured, she doesn't take the broken wing man in anymore. She doesn't, you know, want to take in the homeless man and have him over for Thanksgiving. She has more spiritual discernment now.
We just had that discussion today. That's interesting.
But her heart is still there to do that.
Right.
She just has more spiritual discernment now. Her Taurus moon is exalted. This chick, God bless you, and I don't mean chick in a negative way. I mean, like, you're no joke. Her moon is exalted in Taurus. Moon, Venus, and Mercury all exalted. I mean, it's literally like that. So the moon is at home in Cancer. It does well in earth signs, because earth signs are grounded, right? Those fire and air moons, they're like emotionally all over the place. The Cancer moon is like just so sweet and pure and divine, but it's exalted in Taurus because Taurus is grounded, practical, prudent earth, right? It vibrates on the earth. Think about the patience of the bull and the cow, right? Taurus is about safety, security, calm, the five senses, right? This is how you tap in to read things. It's the material physical world. So you were physically born here to tap in and exalt to higher consciousness, to communicate. Your chart is literally saying what you have, what you are, what you can do. It's literally in your chart.
Yeah, when I talk to God, I channel, God talks through me. I'm not lying.
it's your chart says that you're not.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Eric Taylor, and it's Tailored to You Coaching, right? The number two, the letter U, Tailored to You Coaching. I am a relationship coach, a chronic illness coach, an astrological life coach, and a professional astrologer. Go to my website, tailoredtoyoucoaching.com. You could check out all my services there. But if you want to email me and book services, hit me up at tailored2coaching@gmail.com. You won't be disappointed.
There you have it, folks. This wraps up the sixth episode of Cool Conversations. Yet again, I would like to remind you that this has been a Madison Music Experience production. Check us out at mmx608.com. Please be sure to spread the love of Cool Conversations, send it to your loved ones, close friends, and also give us a rate and review. We really want to hear that feedback from you guys. I also want to remind you all out there that Laura and I are hosting a free meditation class over Zoom. We are going to be teaching you guys how to meditate in a different way, how to really open up your heart and connect with the things and the people, the beings in your life. If you're interested in signing up for this free Zoom class, send Laura an email at soul2soulreadings@gmail.com. That's soul2soulreadings@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, free meditation Zoom class. We're going to be hosting this on February 19th at 5 p.m. Sign up quick because we have a limited availability for this class. This has been Micah Buffett. Peace and blessings to you all out there.